dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Follow Your Path. My name is Abdul Abid, and I am a surgical pathology fellow at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Today, we will be talking to Dr. Agnes Fogel. She is a professor of pathology, microbiology, and immunology at Vanderbilt University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fogel.
Thank you very much.
Starting off, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to medical school, and residency?
Certainly. So first of all, I'm not a microbiologist for immunology, but the name of our department is the Department of Pathology, Microbiology, and Immunology. And I'm a professor in that department with secondary appointments in the departments of medicine and pediatrics. I went to medical school at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, stayed here for a research year, and then started my residency in pathology, followed by being chief resident and doing a renal pathology fellowship, and have been here ever since. It's been a wonderful place for me to engage with my colleagues in the area of kidney pathology. I was born in the United States to my Norwegian parents, who moved back to Norway when I was a kid. So I grew up bilingual and spent many of my formative years in Norway, where I still have close family. And I started medical school there in the combined European mode that has a combined sort of college pre-med part and medical school before moving to the States, where I finished pre-med requirements and entered Vanderbilt Medical School.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I didn't know about the Norwegian connection, but that's wonderful to know. When you were in medical school and then your residency, were there any particular mentors that inspired you to join renal pathology?
My mentor in medical school was Dr. Robert Collins. He was an eminent hematopathologist, and he taught us in the Socratic way. He knew our faces and our names in a class that started out with 104 students, and he would ask us questions looking at us and engage us not with memorization but with thinking. And I was just thrilled to be in that type of teaching environment. So I asked if he would be my advisor after the second year pathology course, and did research under his direction in each of the subsequent summers and in the gap year I took after medical school, which was occasioned by the birth of our first child, 9 days before I graduated from medical school. I thought that I always would stay in academia. I was interested in science, and I initially thought hematopathology was going to be great, but there was serendipity that happened. Dr. Ike Robinson came to Vanderbilt as vice chancellor, the highest person within the medical center, which then was joined with Vanderbilt University. He was the founding editor of Kidney International. And he recruited fantastic leaders in adult and pediatric nephrology, Drs. Harry Jacobson and Dr. Anne E. Cuny at Chicago. And they petitioned Ike Robinson that they needed somebody in pathology to be engaged in helping with their research. Ike talked to my chair, Dr. Bill Hartman, who said, "Why don't you go talk with these people? Maybe while you're chief resident, you can kind of do some kidney type things." I hadn't really gotten traction on a particular area with HemePath. There weren't really active programs going on then. It was great for diagnostics. And I thought working with such really impressive, super smart people would be a wonderful opportunity. So I interviewed with them. Of course, they were interviewing me. They may not have realized I was checking them out too. So I really found a niche by serendipity. And I think that is one of the pieces of advice I'd give to you guys who are junior. If you have unexpected opportunities and it's something that seems exciting or people who are inspiring, grab them. It will make you better in whatever you end up doing. You may not end up being an expert in that area, but it will enrich your horizons. It will be fun. And I had a wonderful time. And it took a couple of years before Bob Collins acknowledged to me that was a good move, and it was okay, and he approved that I didn't end up being a hematopathologist. He was my very best friend and mentor, and I think he might have been equally thrilled as I was when I took over the endowed chair that he held, the John L. Chaperow endowed chair. He was the first chairholder of this endowed chair, and when I took it over late in Dr. Collins' career, he was as thrilled as I was. He sadly died of cancer some years ago. We miss him terribly here. But that was my path to renal pathology. Serendipity and recognizing what an extraordinary opportunity I had then.
Oh, wow. So in your opinion, what makes renal pathology unique? If you had to sell renal pathology to a medical student or an incoming resident, what would you tell them?
I think it is one of the fields, and there are multiple in pathology, where we are so totally engaged in an integral part of the care team. We're not giving diagnosis in isolation. Maybe more so than in many areas of pathology, the clinical setting, the laboratory data influence how we interpret a somewhat limited repertoire of histologic findings and come up not just with the description of lesions, but an integrated clinical pathological assessment of what the process is, the etiology, what is going on, what the underlying processes are that are governing that. And of course, we get to work with nephrologists who are super wonderful people, very engaged. I call back on every biopsy that we have. We have a large volume, about 80% are outside cases that come to us as wet tissue for primary diagnosis. And it's great to feel as an active, appreciated, essential part of the team taking care of the patient. And we have that in some areas of pathology, but not in every single one, in my opinion.
Mm. Right. Yeah. That's absolutely true. So if a resident or an incoming resident or a medical student, if they're interested in renal pathology, what advice would you have for them? And I know you have touched on some of the things, but any specific yes. things that you would like to say?
Well, hopefully you have some exposure within your program, but if you don't, see if you can do a rotation at a place that has an established large renal biopsy referral program. Excuse me. And then do a rotating stint there. Some of our wonderful fellows did rotations with us as senior third or fourth year residents and subsequently came to us to do fellowship training. My recommendation to all of you trainees who might be interested in renal pathology is go get a nibble at it. If you don't have a rotation in your place, find out one of the places that have established training programs and see if you can do an externship or rotating residency rotation there. Get online with some of the terrific seminars that are given. GLOMCON has wonderful seminars that are done Sunday mornings that are really engaging with a lot of interaction. Go to some of the websites. There are some that are free, and I don't have any conflict of interest because I've never gotten a penny for the Atlas Online done by the American Journal of Kidney Disease Journal and the National Kidney Foundation. It's ajkd.org. They're short two-page PDFs for over 100 diseases, and it's free. No cookies, no sign-in. That's why I agreed to do it with my colleagues, Drs. Mark Lusko, Behzad Najafian, both our previous fellows, and Dr. Charlie Alper's past, just recently stepped down chair at University of Washington, Seattle. Nibble at that. Look and see if you like putting together the history with the light microscopy, the immunofluorescence, and the EM. It's like massaging a puzzle. And when it fits together, I feel like Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman going, hoo-ah, you know, I've got something important that is crucial for understanding what's going on in the patient. It's going to be something that will give a new pathway forward for the best treatment, the possible risk for other things. It's exciting to be part of the care team and see if you like those examples of figuring things out. Like if you have a certain pattern of injury, whether it's segmental scarring or a big long word, membranoproliferative pattern of injury, there are so many different things that can mean, and we can parse that out and figure it out. Some of it requires teamwork with the clinical setting. Sometimes we, just by the pathology, we can say, oh, this has to be cryoglobulin. Have you looked for that? And the clinician goes, oh, we had not thought about that. Or the cryocrit test was negative. And I'll point out, it's a rotten test. Do it again and again and again. So we have a lot of joy from contributing meaningfully to the diagnosis and care of the patients. And I think that you should engage in an environment where you can experience that. And if it doesn't give you joy, find something else to do. If it does make you excited that you could be part of a team to do that, contact us. You can email me. I'm easy to find. Not many people have this strange last name that I have.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for your advice, Dr. Fogo. So that's our show for today, folks. You can find Dr. Fogo on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is @AgnesFogo. And thank you very much for listening to us. If you like the show, please like and subscribe to our channels on YouTube and Apple. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
Special thank you to our listeners. Until next time, enjoy an excerpt from an upcoming interview with Dr. Miguel Reyes.
In your opinion, what makes pediatric pathology a unique specialty?
Pediatric pathology is a very different subspecialty within their field of pathology because we don't define it by organ or system. We define it by age, and the key word in pediatric pathology is development, Virginia. Everything that I see in the pediatric pathology world is linked somehow to development. So much that I always tell my trainees, residents, and colleagues, junior colleagues, that the first question that you ask when you are looking at a pediatric specimen is not where the lesion is, not how it started, how old is the patient? That's the most important question, to set your mind towards the epidemiological possibilities, and from there you take over.
So, yeah, that's definitely, that makes the pathology, pediatric pathology unique. Can you share an interesting case with us that has stayed on with you throughout your career in pediatric pathology?
Yes, and I apologize. I should have opened a picture, because I can do that if you allow me to.
Yeah, sure.
I was practicing as a pediatric pathologist in the National Institute of Pediatrics when I got a biopsy from a patient that had been previously biopsied. Actually, there was a biopsy from a patient that was sent to us, and Dr. Ridaura saw it, and then I got the full resection. Let me show you this picture, because it's an impressive image.
Be sure to check out our YouTube channel to see more of this episode and enjoy the images that Dr. Reyes shared with us.